As wildfires become more frequent and more devastating, wildland firefighters are often the last line of defense protecting homes and communities. While these crucial public servants are in high demand right now, their paychecks are sometimes smaller than some fast food workers. And unless Congress acts, a temporary pay raise for federal firefighters will expire at the end of September. Stephanie Tsai has the story.
This year's wildfires have already burned 5.4 million acres in the United States and forced thousands of people to evacuate their communities.
People that we know that went by and looked at the property said it's burned down. Everything, our stuff is all burned up.
While fire evacuees flee to avoid danger, every year thousands of wildland firefighters are deployed to the front lines.
There's crews right now in the country that have already completed 7 14-day assignments. And on average, anymore, federal wildland firefighters are sleeping in the dirt and on assignment in excess of 130 days a year.
Luke Mayfield was on a hotshot crew for 18 years. Hotshot firefighters are called on to suppress the largest and most intense wildfires in the country. The mobile teams face grueling hours in tough conditions, and they're stretched thin. In recent years, agencies have been short-staffed. By mid-July, even though the Forest Service had met its hiring goal of onboarding more than 11,000 firefighters, those numbers don't tell the whole story.
Across the nation, we are missing 25% of the desired capacity of, you know, roughly 18,000 federal wildland firefighters across the Department of Interior and United States Forest Service. And if you look at geographically specific locations, especially in the state of California, some of those vacancy rates can exceed 50%+.
These are very serious shortfalls you seem to be describing. I don't think the average person understands. Does that mean it's difficult for containment? Does that mean lives are threatened? Homes are threatened?
All of the above. There's not enough people to respond in a timely and adequate manner. There's not enough people around. And that results in, you know, national level discussions of how you triage where people go and how many people are allocated to any given assignment on any given day.
Triage always means that there's a patient that suffers. And in the wildfire case, I guess that means there's something that burns.
Something that burns, communities that are threatened. And it also means that mitigation and management work is not being done because everybody is responding to wildland fires.
Wildfires this year in Ruidoso, New Mexico, and Northern California have consumed hundreds of homes. Firefighters themselves have suffered losses.
I feel luckier than some of the people here because we do have a few things, not very much, but a few things to hold in our hands that survived.
With climate change increasing the severity and frequency of wildfires, trained wildland firefighters are needed more than ever. But Mayfield, now head of a nonprofit that advocates for federal fire personnel, says the pay scale doesn't reflect the demands of today.
You need as much time on the fire line as possible in order to make a livable and plannable income, which results in the regular need of trying to accrue 1,000 or more hours of overtime for a majority of wildland firefighters.
You need to do 1,000 hours of overtime every fire season in order to make ends meet.
Yeah, I would say that is very fair to say, and that's 1,000 hours in roughly a 5 to 6 month period.
Under the bipartisan infrastructure law, wildland firefighters were guaranteed a minimum wage of $15 an hour, but that expires this fall. Mayfield and others are pushing Congress to pass legislation that would lead to a more permanent pay increase.
Everyone's looking for certainty, and we need that stable, sustained funding over time without congressional action, and only reinforces the fears that wildland firefighters currently have about our support and our commitment to their careers that are needed.
We have 30,000 firefighters in the system that are engaged on large fires. We're seeing a lot of injuries. We're seeing a lot of near misses. We've had a number of fatalities.
Alex Robertson is another former hotshot. He still works for the Forest Service, but says the life of a wildland firefighter no longer fits his lifestyle.
I was married and had two young sons, and being on a hotshot crew, being away from home for that amount of time, being in a very dangerous line of work, wasn't going to play out very well.
It also didn't play out well for Luke Mayfield. While he was helping save lives, he felt helpless in his own.
The only place that I ended up feeling normal was when I was on fires, and the only place that I didn't want to be was on fires, which for me resulted in never diagnosed, but seasonal depression and a consistent conversation of whether or not my family was better off with a life insurance check versus me being at home.
Better pay would have helped, but so would a more humane pace, says Robertson.
We know that our folks can't just go for the next 2 months, day in and day out, at the pace that they're going right now. It really is about building in some breaks, building in some rest, and so they can be effective and at their best at the end of the fire season like they are at the beginning of the fire season.
Despite the challenges, Mayfield says wildland firefighters love what they do.
It sounds like the kind of job you would only want to do single and young and for a couple of years, and yet you did it for 20 years. What continued to drive you in this job?
I mean, it's a public service. I think people are drawn to that, and it is the most gratifying and life-shaping job that I've ever had. It's the one thing that I did in my life that was truly motivating and motivated me to be a better person, be a better leader, and take care of people.
Now they're asking lawmakers to take care of them. For PBS News Weekend, I'm Stephanie Tsai.